The power method,
it makes sense if we release a simple
argument of experimental evidence, I could say. And experimental simple evidence. If you consider A real 2x2 matrix with real eigenvalues and consequently eigenvectors, you can represent the directions of two eigenvectors each relative to a distinct eigenvalue. We make also the assumption that the eigenvalues are distinct. A real 2x2 matrix with real distinct eigenvalues, distinct not only. You will appreciate this aspect in the convergence proof of the method. With this distinct, not only, with distinct modeling. You can represent the directions of the two eigenvectors, which will be necessarily linearly independent, as two straight lines in the plane. This is the real plane. I can better say if you pick a generic vector x in the plane, assume also that the two eigenvalues, lambda sub 1 and lambda sub 2, have ordered modulus of lambda sub 1 greater than modulus of lambda sub 2. And if you pick a generic, arbitrary x, say instead of x, let us call just with the notation which will be used after, that t is t. T sub 0, generic, and perform the products A by T sub 0, call it T sub 1, A by T sub 1, call it T sub 2, and so on, obtaining this way a sequence of vectors defined as the general term only T sub k defined as A by T sub k minus 1. If you represent all these vectors with points in the plane, you will see that you obtain, say, this is T sub 0, T sub 1, and so on. You will see points that tends to lie line corresponding to the eigenvector that was this the direction of the eigenvector corresponding to the dominating eigenvalue. That is, this sequence does not necessarily converge. But converges in direction. But which direction? The direction of one of the eigenvectors. Which eigenvector? The eigenvector corresponding to the dominating eigenvector. This is very immediate to see. It is the base on which is constructed the method, the power method. So the definition is this. The given matrix A with three assumptions. Which will guarantee the convergence, a particular, a special convergence of this kind. The first assumption A is the invariant normalization. So-called x sub 1 and so on, x sub n, and linearly independent eigenvectors. Second assumption, let us suppose that the eigenvalues have this property. There is an eigenvalue called lambda sub 1, the dominating eigenvalue, with modulus strictly greater than the moduli of all the other eigenvectors. These are weak inequalities. This is a strong inequality, as in the case of the experiment I have suggested. Third assumption: OX T sub 0, a vector of we can assume to be in C to the end, as all vectors in C to the end can be seen as a linear combination of A and linearly independent eigenvectors x sub I with coefficients alpha sub I. This is not an effective request. All vectors can be written in this way, but the assumption consists in requiring that the first alpha sub 1 of those coefficients is non-zero. Oh, naturally, the eigenvectors are ordered in the same way, in the same order as the eigenvalues. Well, then the definition of the sequence of the generated by the power method is simply this. So we start from T sub 0 Find the sequence, the general vector of the sequence will be called y sub I. The first is chosen as exactly as the arbitrary, relatively arbitrary, because this assumption must hold. The other guys are defined as in this way, y sub k is the product of a by the previous vector. If you substitute each y with the previous and the product by a, you easily obtain that the generic vector of the sequence can be written as the power with exponent k of the matrix C by y sub 0, that is p sub 0. So the method consists simply in generating and computing, obviously, a sequence of vectors which can be seen as the products of the powers of the matrix A by an arbitrary p sub 0 initial vector. As I described you before in this case. Well, the convergence. It can be shown under those three assumptions that the sequences defined as the ratios, the general terms of these sequences are of the form y index iteration k plus 1 entry index j, let me use the same index, okay, over y, the previous vector, the previous iterate vector, the same j. So these are two elements, and the numerator of the iterate vector at the step k plus 1 at the denominator, previous vector, the same components, the same entries. So we have many sequences of this kind. We can define in this way how many sequences, n sequences. All these sequences converge for each j to the eigenvalue, to the dominating eigenvalue. Moreover, there is another, there is a side effect of this convergence. If we normalize the generic vector y, that is, we consider y sub k and divide each vector by a component. For any j, this sequence converges to I write letter this in this way for k, which tends to infinity. And eigenvector of lambda sub 1. So this procedure, this method, allows us to approximate both an eigenvalue, a particular eigenvalue, not all the eigenvalues, the largest modulus, and also an eigenvector corresponding to it. Also, the reason of these two convergence results, the reasons are simple. We can proceed in this way. I sketch the proof on the convergence. It is important to realize the role, the meaning of the assumptions, of all the assumptions that we have acquired. Proof of convergence. Let us write y sub k or sub k plus 1 sub k, okay. By construction, this vector is equal to a to the power k by the first vector t sub 0. But t sub 0 can be written as alpha sub I, x sub I, all eigenvectors with suitable coefficients. We know that the difference is non-zero. You can put a to the power k inside the sum, and we will use the fact that the power k of matrix has eigenvalues the same powers of the eigenvalues of A, and as eigenvectors, the same eigenvectors. So we can write for each I, A power k, eigenvector, same eigenvalue, power k, same eigenvector. If you expand this way, you have at this point, we have to distinguish the contribute given by the dominating, by the dominating eigenvalue with regard to the contributes given by the other eigenvalues. I write here in the first of these terms, and I leave inside the sum the other from the value 2 up to n. Here is the first eigenvector. It is the same thing. But at this point, I put on the left as a factor this this power of lambda sub 1. So the first term became simply alpha, alpha sub 1 by the first eigenvector plus here, in order to have an exact equality, I must divide all these terms by this power. So I can write without modulus, not yet. This is a simple algebraic modification. We observe that this sum, sum is a vector, this is a sum of vectors, so it is a vector. If k tending to infinity, this sum, the index I goes from 2 to n, this sum, which we have your has, since these ratios are all strictly less than 1 in modulus, the second assumption, we have assumed that lambda sub 1 was dominating a modulus eigenvalue. So this ratio, these are complex numbers in general, their ratios in modulus are strictly less than 1. If we consider the sequence made with the powers of these ratios, the seconds for each I goes to 0. This is a sequence of complex numbers, but it converges to 0. So this can be seen as the sum of sequences of vectors all converging to 0, so also the sum, this is a finite sum, converges to 0. I can say that the object in the square goes to 0 for k tending to infinity. Now, let us consider another sequence defined as the same y, this y, okay. Divided by lambda. By lambda sub 1 to the power k. By the previous equality, this is simply the first term I have divided by this, and a term that can be written as an infinitesimal term, which can be written, I am checking if we have written it some way. Okay. This notation means you can probably have already seen it. Infinitesimal with of the same order of the same order as this infinitesimal sequence, which is the largest ratio among all these ratios. It is the ratio corresponding to the largest lambda modulus, that is the second eigenvalue. Further, if you consider the sequence in the statement of the convergence theorem, you have at the numerator of the ratio, this quantity, which can be written as I multiply and divide by this power. And this quantity can be replaced by this. We must be careful. This is all the vector. I can write a similar result for the previous vector. Here you have k plus 1, sorry. For the previous vector, you can write for the same reason. Finally, this is really the final step. Divide the entry of the entries, each by the other. The entries having the same indices of this vector and this vector gives. This is the sequence for which we have to prove the convergence. You divide this power by this power, and only lambda sub 1 is left, and then you have alpha multiplied entry. I write it in this way, the entry of index j of the same index of the first eigenvector plus an infinitesimal quantity. Here, this one was a vector, here is a scalar, but this does not matter. I forgotten the index here. And in the denominator, the same number plus another scalar infinitesimal sequence. If you go with k to infinite, this quantity converges to what? These are infinitesimal sequences. These are equal. So the limit is exactly lambda sub 1. Where the third assumption, has been used? Here. You have alpha sub 1, alpha sub 1 must be non-zero, otherwise we would have 0 over 0. So we would have an indeterminate situation.
For eigenvectors,
an immediate consequence of the proof, the convergence rate, you see here, measures a measure of the convergence rate. The convergence rate is the same. I have here this fact. Is the same of the same of the convergence rate of this quantity. I see this here. The approximation of the eigenvector. You can compute also an eigenvector corresponding to lambda, lambda sub 1, it is sufficient to now to consider this sequence, normalize it as we thought before. For any index j, you expand the numerator and the denominator according to our previous expansions. You could have here alpha x sub 1 plus an infinitesimal vector sequence of order as usual. And under you have alpha sub 1, the corresponding entry of this eigenvector, plus again a scalar infinitesimal sequence. The limits. These terms does not give any contribute to the limit, and the limit is x sub 1 normalized with respect to its entry of index j. So it is all very simple, but only from the theoretical point of view. There can be many aspects. The first, the convergence can be slow if let us give a short list of remarks. First, the negative remarks. Convergence and maybe another zero remark. Only one eigenvalue approximated eigenvalue is obtained. The convergence can be slow, in some cases very slow. Overflow phenomena can occur. This is practically sure. Why? Because we are dealing with powers. We have vectors, like the beginning, which are, here is the subscript, the product of square matrix by an arbitrary vector. So, if k increases, very large real number may occur. Also, very small real number can occur. So we might have also underplay. But the presence of overflow is more serious because computation must be stopped. Well, the first two remarks can be answered with suitable modification of the method. The method can be modified, as we will see next lesson, in such a way that a generic eigenvalue of the spectrum can be approximated. The convergence can be fastened with suitable techniques. The first dangerous aspect that must be fixed is the possibility of overflow. There is a simple modification of the power method. Indeed, this method is used only with the modification that I will describe you now. That is a normalization modification. The so-called normalized power method. Normalized power method. We start again from a vector t sub 0, chosen in some way, substantially in an arbitrary way, since the third assumption of the convergence theorem cannot be checked in advance. We compute, we define as U sub 1 an auxiliary sequence U, the first U sub 0 as T sub 0, and this, the next U is computed in the same way as the standard method, performing the product by of A by T sub 0. Then we define as T sub 1 as the vector obtained with the usual definition normalized beta is a normalization constant It is not necessary that it is a value, no, it is sufficient that such that the norm, a vector norm, chosen, assigned vector norm, applied to t sub 1 is 1. The effect of dividing u by beta is to obtain a new vector t with norm 1. So the sequence that is defined here is the sequence of the vectors t sub k. The general step will be so u sub k for a from 1 and so on, u sub k is defined as a by the previous t vector and the new t vector is the normalized of the u vector. So it is clear that the overflow problem is solved. All the vectors t have norm equal to 1. So I cannot have overflow. I can have still underflow, but this is not. A trouble. The convergence. Thus, the normalized sequence converge under the same assumptions. The answer is yes, and the reason is that it is easy to establish a relation between the non-normalized sequence, we call it the sequence of vectors y, and the new normalized sequence t. We see that t sub 1 is equal to u, but u is a by t sub 0, u sub 1, and this was y sub 1. Next vector t. T sub 2 is obtained as 1 over beta sub 2 by u sub 2, that is equal to a t 1, that is equal to this vector with this constant multiplied by a, but this is y sub 2. So the simple conclusion is that the connection between the two sequences is that, as you see, as you can see here, t sub k is equal to t sub k is equal to 1 over, you see this product for me, the product of all the normalization constants beta by the corresponding non-normalized vector. Since we know that we have convergence for the non-normalized sequence, we can derive immediately the convergence of this scalar sequences U vector of type U iteration k plus 1 entry j over the same entry of the vector of time t. For k, which tends to infinity, for the same reasons that we saw before, this limit is again the dominating element. Okay, we stop here. We have to comment to be more specific in the choice of the norm. So next time the choice of the norm in the normalized version, usually the norms chosen are the infinity norm or the Euclidean norm, as you can guess. But a more important, more interesting aspect is the adaptation applications of the method to cases in which all the assumptions are not fulfilled. Ok, fermiamoci qui, poi finiamo col metodo delle potenze la prossima volta.